This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Taz and Jim, Devin Peacock, our sports guy, is still here. Now, Dev, we have an intro. One of the multiple intros for your segment is it's old audio of a woman who called in to complain about the intro to your sports segment, right?
Yes.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Why don't you try and find another little jingle there instead of that peacock? It's really annoying. And I'm getting sick of listening to it. Get rid of that peacock. You want to see your peacock?
Cuckoo!
I want to see your peacock. Your peacock.
You want to see your peacock?
I want to see your peacock.
Your peacock.
Now, from time to time, we speculate as to what that woman is doing now. If she's still listening to the show now that we've made her part of it on a regular basis. Well, yesterday, Andrea Dunn was doing the afternoon show on FM 96 in London, and she got a call from a woman that some people think may have been the lady who doesn't like the peacock song. Let's listen to this. I'm not sure if it is, but have a listen, see if the voices sound similar to you.
Hi, I have this Super Bowl jersey from 1989. It's the Bengals and the 49ers. And they're playing this weekend?
Not against each other, but yeah.
Oh, shoot, because I keep hanging on to this till they're playing each other, because I don't know, like, it's really sentimental to me. It was my husband's, mm-hmm. and he's passed away, so I thought that they were playing each other.
Like, he's just like, 1 year they're going to play each other, I know
it. Oh, yeah, I don't know, like, I just, it's sentimental value to me, but...
Yeah.
You know, I just, something that I cherish, but it doesn't do a whole lot of good in a Ziploc bag.
What do you think?
That woman seemed like a sweetheart.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same lady.
It was the same kind of sing-songy tone, like, which is like, I don't know what to do with the thing. Like, it was kind of, that was similar.
There was a little bit of a similar sound, but I don't think, if it is the same lady, I feel bad for... playing that intro over and over.
Well, I kind of want the Bengals and the 49ers to play now so that her jersey...
Yeah.
But also maybe, like, what needs to happen is she needs to be upset. I mean, that woman was not upset.
She was very calm.
So, yeah, but in a different mood, she could turn it on. Yeah, maybe she heard herself on the radio sounding very petty. She said, you know what? There's more to life than complaining about radio songs, and completely turned over a new leaf.
I don't think it's her.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, and this lady sounded maybe a little older.
Perhaps, yeah.
You know, 1949. She's got a jersey from 1949, Bengals 49ers.
Will be 1989 or something.
1989? Yeah. Did she say 49 or 89?
49 was before they existed, I'm guessing.
Yeah, Bengals, Bengals have been around.
That would be a real collector's item. 1989?
Yeah, the Bengals, like, it was the Bengals and the 49ers played. Boomer, I guess, would have been the quarterback for the Bengals at the time.
That's still a nice collector's item.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, old school Bengals, kind of a fun. So, it's nice to see the Bengals going again. Unfortunately, they beat the Bills, so who cares about the Bengals,
well,
right?
For that nice lady who called the radio station yesterday, I want to say I hope it is the 49ers and the Bengals, and you can make a little cash off that thing.
Sure.
You know? I'm sure your late husband's looking down, and he'd like that matchup as well.
Get another jersey, so you can have two.
Yeah, and if you're the angry lady who complained about Peacock's song, take a page out of this lady's book. You guys sound similar, but she's just spreading joy in the world.
Get rid of that peacock. You want to see your peacock?
Smiling wave. I smile and wave. Never promise anything again.
The Headstones. Now, the lead singer of that band, also an accomplished actor, co-creator and producer of the TV show Mayor of Kingstown. Season 2 just premiered on Paramount Plus. If you haven't seen the show, Jeremy Renner is Mike McCluskey, a power broker tackling corruption and inequality in Kingstown, Michigan, where the business of incarceration is the only thriving industry. He's a busy man. Thanks for your time. Hugh Dillon.
Hey, Taz. Hey, Jim. How are you?
Great.
Hugh, famously, you are a Kingston, Ontario boy.
Yeah.
I lived there for 5 years, and as soon as I saw that first episode, it brought me right back to Kingston. Like that.
That opening scene.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But one thing I didn't really get into when I was living in Kingston is the prisons are there, but you never really think about what goes on inside of them. Did you have some sort of connection?
Yeah, what year did you live there? I mean, it's been gentrified. It was a little rougher and a little, I mean, the KP was the dumping ground for bad guards in the 70s. So I lived there from the time I was a kid. I was born there.
Yeah. You know, I was early 2000s, so I was like the final days of KP, right? Like they shut it down shortly after I left.
It was a different time. Yeah, society was different as a whole. You know, and I had had this concept in my mind since the 70s that it was always, I mean, I would have problems in high school because the guidance counselors always wanted to put you in a job placement thing, and I'd always be pissed off because I wanted to be a singer in a band and make movies. And it was like, well, that's probably not going to happen. You know, it's a risk. But, you know, you always have great people and you have champions. And I was lucky I'd grown up with Gord Downie and the guys in the Hip, and they championed me to make sure the Headstones got a record deal. And then I'm just lucky that I didn't give up, you know, and the world caught up with my way of thinking. You know, so it's just been profoundly satisfying.
Yeah, talk about an I told you so. Hey, guidance counselor, my show's in season 2 on Paramount Plus. Make sure you watch it. That's the thing, man. People have these dream jobs. They exist. They're attainable. You just got to do the work.
You know, and that's really a big part of it. Gord Downie and I had the same teacher at KC in Kingston growing up, and we had a great couple of acting teachers, and it helped, but I just didn't like the structure of, you know, I remember I was turned off because they wanted to do Thornton Wilder's Our Town and these really kind of adult plays. And I did not have the bandwidth. I like Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. I'd rather figure out how monitors worked and four guys and smoke a little weed and play rock and roll, and couldn't listen to the teachers, and Gord didn't either. You know, we had our own ideas and I mean, that's part of it. If you've got a vision and your own ideas, you won't ever give up.
We got to give a shout out to your mayor of Kingstown co-creator. Hugh, your partner on that show, Taylor Sheridan. This guy is so hot right now. He was the man behind Yellowstone. You got to act on that show. Were you expecting it to be the phenomenon that it became?
I did, because Taylor, I'd known him for years. He was my acting coach, and I knew that guy knew what he was doing. And also, I knew Kevin Costner before that show was released. I remember just being in Utah. We shot the first season, and then it switched to Montana. But it was just, you know, and also I'd shot Wind River in Utah. And it is just awesome to see those mountains and see that, just the scope of the show. And then I remember shooting a scene with Cole Hauser and Kevin Costner up on this mountain, and there was 100 horses. And you had to get up this mountain, and people were rappelling down the side of it. And I just thought, this is a feature, you know. So I did have an inkling. And Costner was great. You know, Kevin Costner is a movie star and just a warm, decent human being, everything you could think of. And he was great. And he's a cowboy. I did kind of think it would take off.
Well, the movie star you have in Mayor of Kingstown, Jeremy Renner, Wind River, you guys did that together, and then you got him on board for this project, right?
Yeah.
We're all rooting for him after his terrible snowplow accident over the holidays. Obviously, you've checked in with him, Hugh Dillon. How's Jeremy Renner doing now?
Oh, yeah, he's on the way back. That guy's a fighter. I mean, it was the first day when it was shocking.
Yeah, scary, man.
Pray for him and his, you know, his family and all of it, like anyone else. It's like it's like family. And we'd work so closely together. And then I got a text from and a funny, you know, stuff that I don't want to say on the radio. And then I got a little film from him that was just hilarious. And I just knew he was on the comeback trail. It's like he survived it.
So he survived it and instantly had a sense of humor about what had happened and was ready to start doing the work.
Thank you for articulating that for me. That's what it was. And so I did feel that wild relief. Like, it's going to take a while, but he's on the way.
So you guys are working on Mayor of Kingstown. You're telling us off the air, like, you're still working on episodes week to week. Like, they're all in the can, but you're doing editing stuff and post-production right now?
Oh, yeah. You got to tweak these things. I think we're on episode 5 or 6 in the pipeline, and we run everything by Taylor, and he's on a bunch of projects, so it's just generally 3 episodes ahead of the game, which isn't bad.
When does Paramount tell you whether or not there's a season 3?
You never know. You just don't know.
Do you have different endings? Like, is there a cliffhanger for the end of this season if there is going to be a season 3, or do you have an ending?
I'll put it this way for you. We've got 5 seasons mapped out, so we're not worried. You know,
nice.
There's a lot of plans in the pipeline. I'm not really concerned about. We know what we're doing.
Well, it's always good to have a plan. What's the plan with the Headstones? Flight Risk, your new album was released last year. You did a great show in London, Ontario, back in December. Are you guys going to have time to do any more touring this summer?
I've already got a couple of gigs on the books for the summer. And I think in a couple of weeks, we'll go back and start writing, you know, and see if we can come up. We've got an idea for an EP and making a couple more videos. That's exciting and that's fun. And we've been doing it for so long and our fans have followed us that it's just like our fans are still showing up. It's just been incredible. And our only goal is not to release stupid records. They have to rock.
I
hope you have a sign on the wall of the rehearsal space. No stupid records.
Yeah, that's why we have these fucking fans. Reason.
Yes.
It's because you've got to put the time in. We know, and it goes back to that question you asked me earlier, you know, when I was a kid and studying rock and roll. I know when bands kick out some record that is meaningless, and I just always refuse to do it. You know, it was like, it counts. Your lyrics count. You've got to say something, and if I can't write the words that match how good those songs are, then we're not going to do it.
Well, Hugh, I've been playing your music on the radio for almost 3 decades now. I'm a Headstones fan, and on behalf of Headstones fans, I got to say, we've been excited to watch you. Like, at first, it was like, hey, it's Hugh from the Headstones on this TV show. And to watch your movie and TV career evolve into what it's become, I'm sure it's exceeded even your wildest expectations. It's pretty incredible, and we're proud of you, pal. Keep it up.
You guys rock. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Mayor of Kingstown season 2 is going right now on Paramount Plus. New episodes every Sunday, right, Hugh?
Hell yeah.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Taz and Jim with a brand new segment. It's called You Put the Arse in Arsonist. Let's go to London, Ontario. We've got Joseph on the line. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Now, you're not the guy who set the fire, but outside of your apartment building, there was a big fire that caused a lot of damage. What happened?
Well, yeah, it's 3 a.m. Got the, you know, the fun wake-up call, fire alarm going off. Usually it's the false alarm, but as soon as I opened my bedroom door, my whole living room was full of smoke, so I knew it wasn't the case. Look out the window, you know, Terminator 2, two-story fireball outside my window.
No.
So I immediately knew it was someone either lit the recycling or the dumpsters on fire for whatever reason. And then we later found out it wasn't someone just trying to keep warm. It was someone who actually went there, lit it, fanned the flames, and then ran off. Sort of like your movie montage there with the big ball of flame behind them.
Yeah, so they purposely were trying to create chaos, and it worked because I saw the pictures that you posted of the aftermath of this fire, and it got a couple cars, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. One was just scorched. It looked like a little Prius-type car, but the one right beside it, half-melted Jeep, pride and joy of that, my neighbor there, they're pretty sad about that. But, I mean, we're all happy that no one got hurt, and London Fire and police got here really quick, which thank God they did. Those cars exploded.
How high up are you, Joseph?
I'm right beside it.
You're right beside it? You're on the first floor. All right, so you were right there. Could have been very bad for you.
Yeah, I cracked my windows from the heat. If it kept going, the windows probably would have shattered, and then there goes all my stuff. My fire was hitting my whole apartment. It was pretty freaky.
And this has happened once before, semi-recently?
Yeah, 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, they lit that same recycling structure on fire. That time, it was more of a slow burn, so it didn't, you know, really hit buildings, or even the car next to it was fine. This time was a raging inferno. So it's the second time in 2 years that that structure has been burned down. This time, far worse than the last, though.
Do they think that the building is being targeted on purpose, or that area is being targeted on purpose? Like, does anyone have a grudge against one of your neighbors, or is it just somebody being a complete moron?
It could be various things. You know, the building has had a lot of sort of petty damage done against it. Our cars are broken into in the parking garage and the ones that are above ground as well. So it could be one of many things, but, you know, it's the area itself has a lot of stuff like that going on, albeit this one's the flashiest and, you know, most, you know, visible sign of damage done. Every day something's happened.
Are you going to be offended now when people use the term dumpster fire to describe something that isn't a literal dumpster fire?
Like a drunk girl.
My Cowboys just lost the other day, so I'm used to dumpster fires.
Man, it's been a tough week for Joseph.
Yeah, one on my television and one outside my bedroom window. So, yeah. We'll see what the rest of the week brings.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
You know, I'm a bit of a worrywart, Jim. I don't like headlines like this. Earth's inner core may have started spinning in the other direction, study says. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I just don't like things changing.
Yeah, especially things you can't see about the whole entire Earth.
The inner core of the Earth, they call it a planet within a planet, can spin independently of the Earth because it floats in the liquid metal outer core.
Liquid hot magma.
Magma. Scientists are not sure why it's doing this. Differences in seismic waves created by earthquakes or nuclear explosions as they pass through the middle of the Earth can affect the spin of the Earth's core. I just think it's something we need to keep an eye on here.
Well, I think it happens every 70 years is what they're saying. Like, it's a common thing.
Okay. So it's happened before.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's like a common thing. Yeah, everything on the Earth is like cycles, you know, like the tide in and out.
Yeah. I agree with the bad guy from The Matrix. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, you know?
You want to eat that steak and not know?
I want to eat the steak and not have to worry about which way the Earth's core is spinning. Is that too much to ask?
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
We are Taz and Jim. If you're new to the show, I'm Taz. I'm a married guy with two kids. Basically, on the back nine here, you know?
Wow.
The towel was thrown in for me long ago. Now, Jim Kelly, you are still young and fresh-faced.
Am I?
But your wedding is coming up this summer. You're planning.
Yeah, in June, yeah.
Do you have any wedding appointments or meetings today? I know yesterday you had one. Can I say what it was? Or
yeah.
Is it a secret, a surprise for the guests?
No, go ahead.
You're meeting someone about a photo booth for your reception.
Yeah. Which I think is fun. Like, we went to a consultation thing at the venue and this person was there. Like, a bunch of vendors were there. So it's a photo booth. It spits out the classic three shots, you know, and then you get, and they give you, they text you the photos and give you a physical photo to put on your fridge.
But it is a booth that you get in.
No. I mean, that's just the colloquial term for it, but it's just like, it's kind of just like an LCD screen on a stand and you sit in front of it.
I like the curtain ones.
What, you going to get some hanky-panky in there or what?
Sometimes. You never know what's going to happen in the photo
booth. Hands where I can see them, Taz.
Yeah, just old school. You know, those. I like the old, when they were at the mall, the old photo booth.
Yeah, that's the same kind of idea.
Well, that's fun. Did you decide to go with it?
We have several packages to look at, okay. You know, varying prices.
Are you shocked with how expensive everything is for a wedding?
Not really. Like, obviously everything's expensive and I was bracing for it. And it is basically exactly where I thought everything was. Like, everything's like $2,000, $1,500 or $2,000. The wedding cake, $1,500, $2,000. The thing, $2,000. The DJ, $2,000. Yeah. So it is what it is.
It's like when you go to Costco, everything's $10. And then suddenly you spent $400.
It adds up.
It just
for
adds
sure.
up quick.
And I am getting my, like, a suit fitting. Shout out to Collins Clothiers. So I'm getting fitted, measured, whatever.
When's
I
got to
bring
happening?
Some, like, I just had to reschedule at 2:15 this afternoon.
Oh, today. So you do. Yeah. Like, you're getting it done this week, man.
Yeah, it's the crunch time. Yeah, my fiance's kind of stressing out a little bit. Because she's got to get the bridesmaid stuff. So there's still some stuff on that. I feel like we're doing well, but she's like, we're running out of time. But she's doing all the planning, so I don't know.
You're
maybe
not
we
stressed
are.
Out. You just show up, yeah. Go where she tells you to go.
I got the bachelor party going. That's all I care about.
And she's going to be telling you where to go for the rest of your life. Really excited for you, pal. Devin Peacock is our sports guy, and he's a bit of a hothead when it comes to the subject of NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. What's your problem with old Gare Bear today?
Based on his latest comment, he is either just lying to everybody or he's been having a few pops with 2-liter pop guy because what his latest comment is just stupid. I mean, it's naive. And so here what he was talking the other day was about tanking because everyone wants Connor Bedard this year. He is
the Connor Bedard lottery. This guy's a superstar.
He's a generational talent. And so Gary Bettman was saying, oh no, there's no tanking in the NHL. We don't do that in this sport. We have a weighted lottery. So just because you're the worst team in the league doesn't guarantee you the top pick, which is true. But to say there is no tanking in any sport is just stupid and ridiculous.
As a commissioner, though, like I agree. As a commissioner, though, you cannot start saying people can you acknowledge that? It doesn't help the brand. It's not going
to
help.
You don't have to acknowledge it, but you can say, listen, you can say there are ebbs and flows in the way teams go up and down. And sometimes teams, need to recommit to, they rebuild or they
so
retool.
Sit on the fence and don't actually answer the question a politician would.
Have a more political
Is that better?
I think so. As opposed to just saying there's no tanking. Like it's just a stupid lie.
Because there is, listen, there's, if you don't tank, what's the lottery? How many teams are in that little lottery thing they do?
Well, so it depends. Like sometimes you can win the lottery, but you don't necessarily go all the, like you can move up 4 spots is the main rule, right? So you can
so
win
the
lottery.
So if you're at the bottom, you have a better chance of getting Connor Bedard. So tanking does help you have a way better chance of getting the kid.
Absolutely. Like there's a lot of Red Wings fans who might be listening to this. In the past couple of years, they've kind of bottomed out and they've been really hoping they might get the top pick, but they haven't done it. So being like the worst team in the NHL is not a guarantee that you're going to win the lottery.
I'm thinking, what are the alternatives? Because what other way could you give the first draft pick to what team? Like how could that possibly work and how can you prevent tanking if the bottom teams always get the first draft pick? And this is obviously not doable right now, but I think the soccer leagues have it right, where if you're the bottom team, you get demoted to the league below or promoted to the team. So there, if you can tank if you want, but then you lose all the money. Like, obviously, you can't do that in the NFL and the NHL right now. There's no leagues that are work with it.
So here's the thing. So, I mean, I agree.
But I'm telling you, soccer has it right.
I agree with you 100%. Relegation is one of the best things in sports because not only do you get a competition to see who's going to stay, like who's going to win the league, but there's just as heated of a competition to see who's going to avoid relegation because there's huge amounts of money tied to going down a level.
Who's going to stay in the league?
The problem is you have a bunch of billionaires who paid a lot of money for their teams that they don't want to go down to the AHL, as you know, the kind of the comparison would be for the NHL. So that will never happen here. It's too bad it won't, because it is the best way for all of this. You can't stop it, though, is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. I mean, and in some cases, it's the right move, because if you are the Edmonton Oilers, not that they tanked for Connor McDavid, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you're never going to get a Connor McDavid unless you draft him, right? So for a lot of teams, building through the draft is the way to go. And if you can get a guy like Connor McDavid, Connor Bedard,
any Connors,
all the Connors.
I need a Connor. We're throwing the game.
then you,
that's it.
You've got to do it. The problem becomes sometimes there's some bad mojo where if you like go over the top with the losing, like the Philadelphia 76ers famously did this. They had the whole process to tank year after year before the
Houston
NBA finally stepped
in.
The NBA stepped in and said, guys, stop it. Mm-hmm. And then they did. So that's what the league can do on the back end, but you can't stop tanking because it's a good model. You build through the draft, and so it's going to happen. It's never not going to happen.
You feel better, Dev?
I do. I do.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Pamela Anderson's new book, Love Pamela, comes out next week. Some excerpts have been shared with some magazines, and we had heard that Tim Allen from Home Improvement, according to Pamela Anderson, flashed her. He's wearing a robe in the hallway on the set of the sitcom, and he said, I've seen you naked, so here you go. Open the robe up.
No, let's try it again. You do that? You do it? Ew, Tim.
Tim Allen denies the claims, although some people are saying this is proof that it might have happened. TMZ has a video. It's a blooper from the Home Improvement show where Tim Allen flashes his co-star, Patricia Richardson, who played the mom on that show.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing a kilt, and she makes a comment. He lifts the kilt up. They start laughing together. Patricia, though, is defending Tim, saying he had boxer shorts underneath.
Okay, that's good.
I was laughing because I was surprised that he did it, not because he showed me anything. But Pamela says that Tim did it. Tim says, no, I didn't.
Who knows?
There's another he said, she said, coming out of Pamela Anderson's book. According to Pam, she says when she moved to Hollywood, Sylvester Stallone propositioned her. She says he offered me a condo and a Porsche to be his number one girl. What would that sound like?
Hey, Pamela! Hey, Pamela, I'll give you a condo and a Porsche.
Yeah, it probably sounded like that. It sounds like he was yelling at her window.
Be my number one girl. Is that a bad Stallone?
I think it probably sounded like, Pamela, I see you in that red bikini on the Baywatch. You know, I was thinking maybe you give me the mouth-to-mouth. What are we talking about here? Porsche and a lease on an apartment?
Porsche and a condo.
Is this how rich people date?
I don't know. He said, that's the best offer you're going to get, honey.
It's not how hard you get hit. It's how hard you can get hit on and keep moving forward. That's the best offer you're going to get, honey. You're in Hollywood now. I'm the king. You're in Hollywood
now.
You want
to be the king's queen?
Pamela says she replied, be my number one girl. Does that mean there's a number two girl? Uh-uh. I wanted to be in love. I didn't want anything less than that. Stallone, of course, is denying it. His rep calls her story false and fabricated. Says, Mr. Stallone confirms that he never made any portion of that statement. Hold on. Why is his
portion?
Rep?
Why
is his rep talking like?
Who's his rep, who suspiciously sounds like Sylvester Stallone
himself. This is Sylvester Stallone. This is his rep, and he never said that.
He never made any portion of that statement.
Yeah, I feel
not
like that's
Porsche
a okay.
In.
Okay.
No, so he did not offer her a Porsche and a condo, according to Stallone.
I feel like if that did happen, that's not that embarrassing. It's kind of weird, but I mean, it seems like a nice offer. It's crazy to me, but I mean, you know,
I can understand how a woman would find it insulting.
Well, I think you'd be like, okay, I'm not that, like, I'm a person who believes in traditional relationships, but I bet you there's many women who'd be like, sure, I'll take a Porsche.
Many women? I would be Sylvester Stallone's number one girl for
sure.
A Porsche and a condo, Jim.
Trying to figure out how this would work. Would lawyers be involved? Would you have to sign a contract if Sylvester Stallone offered you a Porsche and a condo to be his number one girl?
Only if you accept.
You think you'd have to sign something? Or this is an allegation Pamela Anderson's making in her new book. She arrived in Hollywood. Stallone said, I'll give you a Porsche and a condo. You'd be my number one girl.
I think you would have to sign something. It's crazy, but I'm just thinking as a crazy rich Hollywood person. If you just offered somebody that without a contract, what's preventing them from just taking that portion, leaving, and never talking to you again?
That's kind of what, that was my plan.
You're going to do Sylvester dirty like that?
If Stallone ever offers, I'm just going to take the portion, the condo, and then when he comes over for a little Netflix and chill, I'm going to be like, what are you talking about? I've never met you before, Sylvester. Get out of my condo.
Oh, that's so disingenuous. If I accepted that offer, I would make him so happy for 6 months and then go my separate ways.
But you'd have a timeline on it as
well.
I'd
have a timeline. I mean, yeah. It's only a Porsche. After all, what's my dignity worth? 6 months. And a Porsche.
And is this a lease? Or am I...
Lease to own?
Or am I owning this condo outright?
Yeah.
Because then you might have to go a full year.
The condo, probably not. Because in LA, that's millions.
Right.
But the Porsche, you know, 80 grand maybe could be something you walk away with.
If I was keeping the condo, it would be a different situation.
It's not generous. It's just not... It's just weird. It seems almost like prostitution.
Yes. And completely... warranted, if you're a woman, you're offered that, to be insulted.
Like, did his current wife get the same deal, or any of his girlfriends? Because that means
Adrian.
They've taken the...
Did his wife, Adrian...
He must have.
Did he buy Adrian a Porsche and a condo?
Because now every girl he's ever dated and or his current wife must be like, shut up. Stop revealing my hand and why I'm driving a Porsche.
He just got me a Toyota Corolla and a couple nights at the Holiday Inn. I got gypped.
I was his number three.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.